Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Questions People Ask, Part 3, Answering Spiritual Issues. In this session, we'll be looking at Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, When Will the World End? Let's look at our text and another major passage. First, we'll read Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, and then a few other verses in that chapter, and then we'll look at Matthew 24. Mark chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Then he went out of the temple. Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" Then if you drop down to verse 32 and to verse 37, "But of that day and hour, not even the angels in heaven, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." And then if you go over to Matthew chapter 24, the same record with a little bit more information. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 1 down to verse 4. "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.' Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us when these things will be. When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you.'" In Mark chapter 13, the disciples asked Jesus to tell them when the world would end. Verse 4, "Tell us, when will these things be?" And Jesus answered that question very plainly in verse 32. "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The signs of the second coming are recorded in the Bible for two purposes: to encourage believers to endure in this life despite hard times, and to exhort believers to get serious about sharing the good news. When Jesus comes, there won't be time to prepare. There won't be time to warn others. First, there will be signs of the end times: false prophets and the Antichrist. Mark 13, verses 5 and 6. "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many.'" Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 18. "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given opportunity to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Then if you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So there will be signs of the end times. There'll be false prophets and the Antichrist. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Mark chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. And then there'll be natural disasters. Luke 21, verse 11. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And there'll be persecution of Christians. Mark chapter 13 again, verse 9, and in verse 11 to 13. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And in verse 11, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother into death, and a father his child, and the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated for all my namesake. Be hated by all for my namesake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Again, Revelation 13 speaks of all this coming persecution. And then idolatry, Mark 13, verse 14. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And there'll be careless living. Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. And there'll be moral decay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then there'll be the rise of satanic cult worship. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit especially says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And in Revelation chapter 18, verse 23, the light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. And then the gospel will be preached to all nations. Mark chapter 13 and verse 10. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Listen, this does not fully take place before the rapture occurs. The placement of verse 10 is in the midst of the activity of tribulation. Matthew chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. You got to study Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14 for the fulfillment of this preaching by the 144,000. And then there will be the return of Christ. Mark chapter 13, verse 26. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And so, there'll be signs of the end times. And then there'll be, second, a negative reaction to the end times. There'll be unbelief. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and tested him, asking that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Be unbelief, there'll be worry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. There'll be scoffers. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And they'll be saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And then third, there can be positive responses to the end times. First, you need to guard against false prophets. Mark chapter 13 again in verse 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. And then you can, second, resist being impatient. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Many Christians approach life as if it were a sprint, and as a result, they fall by the wayside with times of difficulty. Life is more like a distance run with many hills. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then third, we need to be watching. Mark chapter 13, verses 35 to 37. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. I do not know when Jesus Christ will come again, but I do know that he wants us to be ready when he comes. You have a great day.